Let's have a look at the implications of this development and also the week in politics. Annabel Crabb, the ABC's chief online political writer, joins us now. Good morning, Annabel.
Good morning, Waleed.
You were listening to that interview, I take it?
I was.
What did you make of it?
I thought that Chris Bowen has been reasonably consistent on this point. I mean, he was proposing as long ago as 2 months ago within Cabinet to expand the government's position to embrace Nauru. Now, on that occasion, he was overruled, and it looks as though a couple of months and a lot of boat arrivals have conspired to bring the rest of the government around to agreeing with him. And he's now proposing to negotiate with Scott Morrison, a man in whom he has more faith, I think, than Tony Abbott, to come to some sort of agreement.
There's no point having more faith in Scott Morrison than Tony Abbott, though, ultimately.
Well, I mean, you know, the people, the preparedness to negotiate on this issue increases the closer you are to being responsible for it, I think. And Scott Morrison, I think, historically has been a little bit more open to compromise than Tony Abbott, probably because he thinks that he might be in charge of this situation sometime soon. That does tend to focus the mind somewhat.
Right. I generally am not a fan of horse race politics, but I think it's a question worth asking in this case. Who wins on the politics of this? Does this look like a government capitulating meekly, or does it look like a government that's open-minded, prepared to compromise with an obstinate opposition?
It's looked like a government capitulating weakly for some time. I mean, this whole policy area has been a rather sorry trail of reversals and false starts for the government. So I think that the horse is slightly bolted on that one. I mean, I think that more broadly, this whole policy area reflects quite a chronic inability of the political system in Australia to find agreement, even where it exists. And with this sort of ludicrous exchange of letters and so on, and this high-handed megaphone debate that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, which has been made, I think, probably more repellent by the very human disaster that's happened while this is going on, I think has probably brought into fairly sharp relief something about Australian politics is annoying a lot of people, which is that the political game seems to have won out over the very basic question of what we should do about this problem that Australia's having. But on the question of wins and losses, I think the government's very exposed. I think that over the last year, it's effectively been either the opposition directly or fear of what the opposition might do that's dictated Labor's thinking on this. I mean, asylum seeker policy has been an extremely vexed policy area for the Labor Party for 10 years now. There's a lot of kind of psychological scar tissue that dates all the way back to Tampa and the events of the 2001 political year and election. And I think that they're still struggling with that. But the interesting thing about the situation that we now have is that if you look at the historical orientation of the parties on this issue, you have now it's a very different situation. You have a Labor government now advancing a policy in the Malaysia solution, which is more extreme than anything that was ever advanced by the Howard government. And it does so with the reluctant assent now of the Labor left, which I think has come around in the last 2 months since Chris Bowen's proposal to consider Nauru was defeated at Cabinet, has come around to the position of compromise on this. And yet, on the other hand, you have Tony Abbott's opposition, the coalition, really militating against compromise that would achieve an offshore processing solution. So if you have a look at the historical orientation of the parties on this matter,
it's bizarre.
We are a long way from Kansas now. Yeah,
yes, we are. Do you think, though, that there is a risk that the opposition runs here? Because you have a government now that is prepared to say, look, we're even going to compromise. We're going to throw in something that we still say we don't like and we don't agree with, but just so we can get something moving. If the opposition says no to this, does it really illustrate the government's point? Do you think that this is an opposition that really is just interested in destroying, basically, in saying no? And is there a risk that the opposition is running with that?
Well, I think that Tony Abbott very rarely meets a political opportunity that he denies himself. Yeah, I think that's right. I also think that there are plenty of people in the coalition who legitimately think that the Malaysian solution is wrong and not humane. I mean, I think there are people who are sincerely of that view. I think in more general terms, Tony Abbott takes a very brutal political line on this, which is this is your mess and we shouldn't have to help you fix it up by doing something that we don't agree with or endorse. I mean, so that's the way the politics of it is working, I guess. Tony Abbott is unwilling to extend to the government an olive branch that would exculpate it from its own incompetence. That's his approach.
So more it's two broadly, competing messages, basically, and it depends which one is better received, really.
Certainly. I mean, I do think that the inability of the Australian political system to find any sort of agreement on this, even when agreement is really not all that far away, let's remember that both sides of politics now are committed to offshore processing. The bickering now is sort of concerns which postcode, and I don't think infantile behaviour or political stubbornness is a characteristic that is restricted only to the conservative side of politics here. I mean, you have a government that resisted Nauru for a long, long time for no, distinguishing it from Manus Island for no practical reason that I could ever detect, only because Nauru carried with it such a strong flavour of the Howard government policies from which it distanced itself.
So to package as a compromise is more palatable than doing it as a backflip. I'm interested just finally in the Greens here, because they're the major player in politics now that is against offshore processing. That's onshore. Yeah. They're the lone voice really on that. But has this development more or less...
It's interesting because they're the only party that are currently getting their way.
one of the
very Alice through the looking glass attributes of this current situation is that the government is already executing a policy approach with which it formally disagrees, that is to say onshore processing. So the Greens are the only people getting their own way politically at the minute.
But have they been effectively sidelined and rendered irrelevant to this debate now as a result, particularly of the development over the past day?
Well, I think that there is a logical problem with the Greens' argument about onshore processing. I think that there is a plausible case to be made that the opening of onshore processing has led to some of the events that we've seen in recent weeks. Obviously, when you have an enhanced ability for people to be processed in Australia and stay in Australia, it increases the incentive for them to take the risks to which Chris Bowen referred when you spoke to him a minute ago. I think that because the attention is largely on exactly how this circumstance is going to work itself out between the two principal decision makers, the government can't do anything without the opposition in this circumstance, largely because of the orientation of the Greens. I think that the Greens' position probably doesn't get tested as quite as strongly as it perhaps should be.
Annabel Crabb, always a joy to talk to you. I hope to do it sometime again very soon.
Right back at you, Ali. See ya.
Thanks, Annabel Crabb, ABC's chief online political writer. And I should point out, we did offer an interview to the opposition leader, Tony Abbott. He declined to come on the program, although I do understand he will be making an announcement reasonably soon about this. And we'll follow it. If anything interesting comes out of it, we'll keep you up to date. 7 minutes to 8, you're on Radio National Summer Breakfast.